Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to the Scottish Parliament, and welcome to this event, the Seminar on Housing and Ageing. My name's Andy Whiteman, MSP. I'm a convener of the Housing Cross-Party Group, and this is a joint event between the Housing Cross-Party Group, the Cross-Party Group on Older People, Age and Ageing, and the Scottish Futures Forum. Unfortunately, my co-chair from the Older People's CPGs are unable to be here today, Sandra White, so I'm on my Todd. We do have, it's a small room, and when we come to questions, we have these microphones that people can use, but for people in the rows, we have a roving mic, and if anyone's hard of hearing, we do have some things to put in your head in the corner there. I mentioned the Parliament's Futures Forum. This is the Parliament's think tank, and one of the jobs of the Forum is to bring together different groups of people to think about Scotland's future and longer-term challenges, particularly beyond electoral cycles. And so I'm delighted that this seminar is being put on not just by the Futures Forum, but by in association with the two cross-party groups. And these seminars are designed to give people a safe space to talk about issues, so it's run according to the Chatham House rule. There is just one rule, which is that anything can be freely reported, but nothing can be attributed to anybody in the meeting. So if I can ask everyone to respect that, I think it's very important, and it enables people to be much more free and easy and relaxed, and ultimately be better informed. So the theme for this seminar is housing and ageing, both indeed on their own, never mind together, two big subjects for Scotland's future. And we're particularly delighted to welcome Dr. Vicky McCall from the University of Stirling, who will present us with some research that she and her team have been looking at on how to meet the housing needs of future generations. And I'm also happy to welcome some members of the research team. Sorry, I was tied up, so I didn't have time to come in and welcome them. Judith Phillips. Thank you very much, Judith. Judith is the Deputy Vice Principal of Research at the University of Stirling. And Professor Judith, another Judith, Sixsmith from the University of Dundee. Welcome to you, Judith, as well. So, Vicky will talk us through the approach to the research they've been undertaking, including a game, which looks very interesting, and the recommendations from it. And Vicky will address us for 20 minutes or so, and then we'll open up for questions and discussion 25 past or half past at the latest. So over to you, Vicky. Thanks very much indeed.
Hello, can everyone hear me? Thank you. I prefer to stand while I'm presenting. I hope you don't mind. And the first thing is, welcome. I can't believe how many people we have today at this event. It's very motivational because we think as a team that housing and ageing is one of the biggest challenges and areas for investigation that we have today. So it's really, you know, that is getting brought up with enthusiasm in the Futures Forum is very, very important to us, because we set out in our project to specifically focus on the future, and we wanted to link strategy to implementation and actually delve down into the activities we can do today that prepare us for 2030 we were focusing on, but I like the focus on 2040 as well, because the ageing population is a shared challenge but also opportunity for everybody. And housing is a tangible element within that of preparing for ageing and living well and ageing in place in a healthy way. So I have to admit, thank you for starting to introduce the team. It is a very big team, and they're all here today, and I'll introduce you all individually, because it's important to know that it was a lot of expertise came in to this project, because we wanted to plan effectively, but we also worked with policymakers themselves, practitioners, and most importantly, older people. We have a series of community researchers at the University of Stirling who have been with us every single step of the way for this, and it's really important that they've worked with us, and we learn so much all the time. So thank you for coming again to support us. And this is the range of the team. I have two slides of the team, so please bear with me. So in the room, we've already been introduced to Judith and Judith, but we also have Ryan from Heriot Watt here as well, bringing in the urban studies perspective. We also have Alistair Rutherford, our professor in economics, social statistics, and Melanie Lovett over here, our cultural gerontologist, which is a mouthful, and Jane Robinson, dementia studies. So there's interdisciplinary perspectives in here, or though we call it transdisciplinary now, just to capture those different levels. I think I've got everybody. And then our really important partners, the most important, as Zan McIntyre, SFHA, is here representing the housing side. We'll also have Frederiki here from the Dwell Project coming in with a developer's perspective and researchers on developers. And we have, of course, Age Scotland, Jim Eady is here, and they've really helped us network and work with older people. And Jeremy Portis was our partner from Housing Lynn, but we have Claire here as his representative today. So I hope you don't mind. The team was so fantastic. It's been over a year that we've been working together, so I want to introduce everybody as equal partners, just to show you that this has been co-produced together. And what we did to inform this programme, we have copies of the report here. We called it our strategic programme on housing and ageing. And we brought everybody together under the banner of strategic planning for ageing and played this serious game that you see before you. And we did this game in a practitioner-focused workshop, bringing health, housing, social care all together, a stakeholder workshop, which was older people themselves, and that we had representative people with living with dementia, lots of different groups, and also policymakers and influencers working group, which are your very own Kevin Stewart was part of as well and came to present, and also the Welsh Housing Minister. So we've had in the recommendations I'm going to give you to you today, quite high level input, but importantly input from all levels. And we brought all that together, and over 200 people were involved in co-designing a set of recommendations that we think is essential to happen if we want to plan for the future for housing and ageing. And we got together because we felt at the moment that research has overlooked this notion of home. When people are talking about housing, we often automatically think of bricks and mortar, the actual, you know, that part of housing. But actually, as social scientists, we think that it's also about, you know, creating a home, supporting a sense of place, a sense of belonging. That it's the people part that you have to actually start with to look to the future and strategize for housing and aging, including those psychological, social, environmental supports. So when we talk about housing, we are definitely talking about housing in the wider sense. And this was our underlying assumptions that feed into that. It's about housing and home, it's about community, it's about care, it's about technology, and all of that comes up to aging in the right place. Okay, so it's that wider perspective. It doesn't have to be in the specific home you're in at the moment, but it's aging in the right place, in the right networks, with the right environment, the right connections, the right relationships. And that, in the end, generates feelings of place and belonging. So to explore that, we had a co-production approach. And just to reassure that this has been a big journey of co-production, because at Stirling University we're particularly strong on co-production. So we started with our community researchers looking more widely about what a good life in later years is about, what's included in that, and housing, luckily for us, came out as one of the top themes, one of the important themes. And that led us to look at Scotland in more depth with Age Scotland in partnership with them, looking at housing through the lens of ageing. And looking at why big issues in housing, such as fuel poverty, energy efficiency, adaptations. And then we came in with this report, which is here, which is housing and ageing, and looking at that national level of knowledge exchange, because the ageing population isn't our own challenge, it's a global challenge, actually. It's something we have to prepare for across boundaries. And we have definitely shared things we need to learn and shared barriers we need to overcome. So we want to also look at it in that sense. And then we're out extending that co-production to even more projects such as and making a toolkit that's going to be utilised in communities and useful for organisations to think about and prioritise what a good life in later years is. And housing is, of course, very central to that. So to explore it in more depth, we created an adventurous methodology, that's what we call it, and that is what you see before you. Please feel free to, after this event, to pick these up, feel them and have a look at the rules and things like that. We wanted to break down everybody's assumptions because, you might have all noticed, but the housing sector can be a little bit cliquey and people get really entrenched in their own ideas and their own angle and their own perspectives. So we wanted to kind of do away with that, make a level playing field. And we created a bespoke, personalised strategic exercise, which is Hope Town. This is, we're quite glass half full kind of people, you know. So we thought, right, Hope Town, we want to plan well for the future. And this is almost a mirror of the macro, the big level stuff in a miniature. So this is one community which we felt, right, okay, at least we can get together and improve the well-being of people in this community, I'm sure. And through that process of play, we can actually see the decisions that are made, what people prioritise, and kind of make scenarios that make us think about the future challenges. And so we did four iterations of it. So it'd be 4 years and then Brexit happens. Right. And then another 4 years and something else happened. The budgets are all cut. And then another 4 years and we add more people to the board because people are getting older. So people were confronted with these challenges that mirror reality. And we watched to see what they decided to do about it. And this facilitated most, first and foremost, knowledge exchange between groups, different groups. So as I said, the practitioners, the policymakers, and the older people themselves. And these scenarios helped us have a look at what policymakers' decisions were, developers, the people, the stakeholders themselves, and service providers. As you can see, these made up the four teams in the game. And of course, if you were a developer, we made you, you know, take a different perspective so that it broke down those language barriers. People were coming in from a shared experience and a shared language, but putting people at the heart of the decisions that they were making. Okay. And we mobilised learning both from England and Wales because they have an older people's commissioner, and we had housing experts come up from there and also in England through Housing Lynn to facilitate that knowledge exchange, but also look at those wider challenges around inequalities that, you know, aren't just a Scottish issue, but a wider UK issue, a global issue as well. And we explored things like the urban-rural divide, disadvantaged communities as well. Okay, so the main themes that what came out of that that game were that talks, decisions and change must start with and include older people. So we had one of the teams as an older person's team. They represented the people, and basically nothing happened unless that group were involved in some way and in a positive way. The interaction with that team was the most important element of increasing the well-being of the people on the table. But they wanted support from service developers, the service deliverers, and the developers, and the politicians. But funnily enough, they were really hard to please. That must be news to the politicians in the room. They had an approval rating, so every time the policymakers did something, they were to give a rating if they were happy or not happy, and that was actually very tricky, very tricky indeed. So. The other themes that came out of that, while people got together, this is over 200 people were involved in this, is that we have to start thinking of housing in a much wider, holistic way, that way that we just talked about, not bricks and mortar, not just somebody's planning, not just about planning, not just about developing, not just about the environment, but all of these things together in a tangible way. Other big wider themes such as transport came out as incredibly important throughout this game. And the housing sector has the most potential in the preventative agenda. There's a tangible element to housing where you can actually make changes today that prevents longer term health decline or health challenges. And we have to have our housing that changes in according to people's needs, not the other way around. You know, a housing element has to be more flexible because health is very dynamic and changes over time. So we felt, well, the people playing the game felt that although housing does have that huge role in the preventive agenda, there's none of the budget. So there's maybe something in there. And then we've got really important things like care and repair came out, adaptations, housing with care, access to care and repair services, and energy efficient homes as well, were obviously key themes for improving the well-being of people. And it wasn't, you know, the conclusion is it's not just about aging, it's not just about, you know, preparing for the aging population, it's about setting up people to age well. Okay, so it's about innovation, investment, and prevention. We felt that creating a vision for the future, looking at this as a future strategic exercise, was really helpful because it helped professionals and the people prioritize what was actually important. So, you know, these ideas of prevention and so on. There were big mistakes, you know, because we made people play the game over a 30-year period. If they hadn't made the right decision at the start, they were faced with that at the end. So if they didn't develop enough, people were homeless at the end. And in one iteration of the game, all the money was put to, they decided, right, people have to stay at home. That's our strategy. We want people to live in their own homes as long as possible. That is the current strategy. However, what happened by the end was all the budget was subsidizing people living in their own homes and not service development or developing new homes and so on. So there was a big negotiation and balance to be had on these strategic decisions. And so we need to invest more in supporting delivery of the ambitions of older people, improvement in support and service redesign, as well as the bricks and mortar. That's so important. And we need to work also, we want to just highlight, to work with care and repair, because that was fed back very consistently in all of the research that we've done as an essential service, for because we're often focused on people living in social housing, maybe often focused on other kind of supported housing, but that, what about the people who are owner-occupiers, aging in place, how are they supported? And care and repair was, you know, that's the majority of people, and care and repair was an essential service there. So just to highlight that. And the bigger part, and definitely something that aligns with our community researchers, perspectives on this, is that we have to communicate, we have to collaborate, and we have to co-produce. Now, the funny thing about the game is it was meant to be slightly complicated, so people took a little bit of time to get into it. And then the games that didn't go so well, it was where the people weren't talking to each other, so the developers weren't talking to the policymakers weren't talking to the older people, etc. It was when suddenly they realised they can all get around this table together and make decisions together that the well-being of the people actually started to increase, because that was a real key challenge to, as the population's ageing and as the budgets are being lowered and big challenges and structural uncertainty come along, what are the options? So it needed everybody in the room to be creative, to think outside the box and prioritise what would actually increase the well-being of people in that community. So a whole community strategy is necessary if you're looking to the future. If you don't have your community with you, then it's not going to be long-term and the investment will just not work. And in that, we have to consider infrastructure involving property developers, planning joint ventures, and work with service providers. The service providers were key in negotiating that communication and co-production. They tended to know when the communities were what community needs were, and be able to be that kind of anchor to negotiate it as well. And speaking to end users as much as possible, because they're the experts on what they want. So we came together from all that data. There was a lot of data. There's a lot that came out of those games. And we brought that all together in a big conference event, which then we co-designed a set of recommendations. And the number one, and I can't, we had so many recommendations that came out, and I made people prioritize them. I said, right, pick one. You have to go around and pick a main one. And this one, place housing at the heart of service integration. That is what came out so loud and clear and has to work well. There was a lot of discussion about the integrated joint boards with health and social care, and the fact that housing does not feel they're an integrated part of that yet. But if we want to deliver really good care in the community and all of these things in a holistic fashion, then we do have to work together in a really positive and integrated way. So housing shouldn't just be at the edges, it needs to be in the centre of the integration agenda. And we also emphasise this need to co-produce, communicate and collaborate, that choices are important, giving people choices are important, and communities have to be central to this change to ensure that people can age in place effectively and healthily. And looking to the future is a really tricky thing to do. And one of the key quotes was, well, how do we actually plan for the future while addressing today's immediate chaos? And that is a real challenge. And it's really easy to forget about planning for the future if at the moment if things are a struggle and things are a challenge. However, if we don't do it, what's the alternative? You know, it has to be given much more of a priority. And one of the recommendations we thought, and one of the ways we thought we could bring all this together, join housing, health, social care, all of these wider services such as transport, actually, you know, you take housing as a holistic thing in our communities. We thought maybe a commissioner for aging would be one of the ways in which we could link those things together. There is an older people's commissioner in Wales, and we learnt a lot from our colleagues from Wales, in that had been really effective at breaking down these siloed barriers between services and areas. And we think we could really benefit from that. But a commissioner for ageing, we don't mean just a commissioner for older people, because sometimes when you put somebody in a category, it's easier to dismiss that body of work. We actually need a commissioner for aging, because it might come as a surprise to everybody, but we're all getting older. Everybody's getting older, and we all have to think about aging and the process and the future. So actually, a commissioner for aging could show everybody is a stakeholder in aging. Everybody is a stakeholder in aging. That's why we have to prepare, communicate, co-produce, and place housing at the heart of service integration. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening.